I want to also greet and welcome the sisters of Alpha Kappa Alpha, Beta Psi Omega Chapter, to Ebenezer Third Baptist Church, and congratulations on 115 years of service and dedication. Thank you for joining us today, and we are also happy that members of Ebenezer are members of the chapter, and Dr. Gloria Quinlan, who served as Minister of Music here for many years, is here. And we welcome all of you. I want to read just one verse from the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 14. Esther 4, 14 from the New International Version. And the text says, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." The word of our God. A difference maker. Thank you, ushers. Recent events in the news have made me think a lot about the choices we make and how those choices impact our lives and impact the lives of others. Sometimes bad choices can ruin a person's life. Sometimes bad choices can ruin a person's career. In Virginia Beach, Virginia, a 6-year-old child takes a gun to school and shoots his teacher. That choice is alarming on so many levels. How does a child get access to a gun? How does a 6-year-old child deliberately plan to shoot his teacher? What is happening in his mind? And what kinds of experiences lead him to that choice? His decision will impact him for the rest of his life. It's not just the act of shooting the teacher, but the experience of seeing what a bullet can do to a person's body. So much to impact that child. And we just witnessed another debacle in the U.S. House of Representatives. The selection of the Speaker of the House was difficult to witness. The choices we make impact our behavior. 2 congressmen almost get into a fight in the wake of the selection of the Speaker of the House, and one has to be restrained. These are not 6-year-olds. These are grown adult men. Representatives of our nation almost get into a fight, and the aftermath leads one to give up his committee position. Our choices impact our lives and the lives of others. We can make bad or negative choices, and we can also make good or positive choices. And as we celebrate the King holiday, I want to focus upon good and positive choices. Choices that make a difference in the lives of others. I think that is an important legacy to glean from the life and service of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was a difference maker. And I really want to use this verse in Esther as sort of a backdrop or a launching pad so that we can look at some things that I think stand out about Dr. King. His choices will forever impact the lives of persons in this country and around the world. And as I thought about Dr. King's legacy, I was reminded of the story of Queen Esther. Before Esther becomes queen, she is a normal Jewish girl living with other Jews in exile. She is a member of a powerless minority of persons in Persian society. The deposing of Queen Vashti by King Xerxes opens the door for the selection of a new queen. And that selection process catapults Esther from her Jewish community to the palace. Sometimes, beloved, circumstances open doors and provide opportunities we never anticipate. Sometimes we set out in life attempting to write one story only to discover that doors open and things happen and we end up writing a completely different story. Queen Esther is unwittingly drawn into a situation that she doesn't expect. The plot, she's drawn into the plot of a palace official who wants to exterminate all the Jews. And our text takes us to the point when Esther chooses to be a difference maker. She decides to heed the counsel of Mordecai, who helps her to understand that she has perhaps come to her position to be a difference maker. And Mordecai says to Esther the powerful words of our text, "For if you remain silent, at this time relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish." In other words, don't think that when they go after the Jews, you will be exempted from tragedy. "And who knows," he says, "but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." Now, a lot of feminist and womanist theologians highlight Queen Vashti's refusal to be exploited as the king's sexual object, because the king requests Vashti's presence. He wants to parade her around in front of her, his guests, and Vashti doesn't want to have anything to do with it, and she refuses, and that's why she is deposed. And so many womanist and feminist theologians want to highlight Vashti because she refuses to be exploited. And many of them consider Esther to be one of those compliant, stereotype, typical women in a man's world. But I see parallels in Esther's experience with Dr. King's journey. Both of them are difference makers. Dr. King lived a short but impactful life. Just 39 years. A short but impactful life. And the impact that he had was based upon his serious preparation for service. His serious preparation gave him the tools for his calling. And so I want you to remember that. This was a man who was prepared. This was a man who was serious. Esther had to undergo rigorous preparation to be judged worthy of being the queen. She is brought in with a group of women, and they were all cleaned up and given special treatments. They were given special training. There were many months of preparation before the selection day occurred. And all of this was part of a patriarchal system in which women had no rights or power. I get that. But Esther's preparation enabled her to get in the position to have an impact. Sometimes we don't know when and we don't know how our preparation will position us for something we don't expect. You say, I'm trained to be an engineer, or I'm trained to be an educator, or I'm trained to be an accountant, or this is my training, this is my preparation, and you think that's going to be the main story about your life. It doesn't always happen that way. And Esther is prepared to be queen, but something else occurs. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. underwent serious study and preparation for service to the church. He was called to be a pastor. He prepared himself for pastoral ministry. He graduated high school early, having skipped a couple of grades. He graduated from Morehouse College at 19 years of age. He graduated from seminary 3 years later. He went on to earn a PhD in systematic theology from Boston University. He had the credentials not only to be a pastor, but also to be a seminary professor. He prepared himself for pastoral ministry, and he had no idea that his preparation might catapult him to leadership for his people. But his preparation gave him the tools for his calling. And that's why, young people, it's important to study. It's important to go to school. It's important to get an education, not just so that you come out with a degree or a piece of paper that says you've been through school, but that your mind is shaped, your perspective is shaped, because you never know the challenges you'll face in life. And when life presents challenges, preparation gives you the resources to meet those challenges. When I think about the Apostle Paul in the New Testament and compare him to Jesus' disciples, there is a vast difference in preparation. Paul was a Pharisee, skilled in the law. He had studied at the feet of Gamaliel and was well versed in Israel's teachings and faith history. Paul was a learned man. But Peter, James, and John were riverfront men. They were fishermen. They were not highly skilled or trained men, but God still called them, and God still used them, right? But Paul had the preparation to address the complex issues of the faith. That's why so many of the writings in the New Testament come from Paul. And Paul is able not only to converse with the Jews, he's able to go to Mars Hill and break down the philosophies there and converse with some of the philosophies of his day, because he had training, he had a background. So preparation, no matter how meager, can position a person for unexpected things. Come on, somebody. So King had a serious period of preparation that gave him tools for his calling. But he also had a serious commitment to the broader issues of life. So the text again says, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." Mordecai expands Esther's perspective. He gets her to look beyond her status as queen and see the larger picture. Sometimes we're so caught up on our status and our position that we are status drunk. And we walk around, "I'm Dr. So-and-so, and I'm the president, I'm the CEO, I'm the CEO." And nobody care about that. Help me, somebody. He gets her to look beyond her status and see the larger picture, which is about the extermination of the Jews. And he also gets her to see that her royal position is a platform. She has been given a platform. Her preparation, even though it was about beauty stuff, put her in the position to have an audience with someone in power. And that's the critical component. And Dr. King's training exposed him to the writings and teachings of Gandhi. He learned the value of nonviolent resistance and protest. His training gave him a keen mind and the ability to not only articulate issues, but also gain a global perspective about the broader issues of the world. He writes, he says, our loyalties must transcend our race, our tribe, our class, and our nation. And this means we must develop a world perspective. Those are the words of King. His preparation catapulted him into a position of leadership. He was just serving as a pastor, but the issues of his day catapulted him into leadership, and his training enabled him to develop strategies not only for the church, but also for a response to racism and oppression. When you read his letter from the Birmingham jail, you see how keen his thoughts are. You see his insights. You see his training and his preparation. He was able to put words to our plight and to challenge this country to live up to its creeds and responsibility to all of its citizens. He helped the world to see the impact of racism in this country and around the globe. And I know I was a kid, younger than 5 years old, during some of the sit-ins and some of the marches. And I know that there were persons who were saying, you know, we're not doing this nonviolent stuff. We're going to be nonviolent with those who are nonviolent with us. So there was a whole different crowd, and I get that crowd. I understand it. But the strategy of nonviolence worked because it brought to the world community the cruelties of racism. And when they set those dogs upon people and marked those people at the Pettus Bridge, and the world looked and said, look at what they are doing. Come on, somebody. It had an impact. The Russian invasion of Ukraine has become a global issue. Technology and social media have shined a spotlight on what's happening in Ukraine. Thank God for technology. You can see stuff all over the world now. And the global community has joined forces to support the Ukrainian people. The reason is that we know what King says, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Whenever somebody does something wrong to somebody else, you ought to be concerned about it. Because if they can do that to that person, they might just do that to you. They're messing up things on your block, and it doesn't hit your house, but it hits your neighbor's house. It's still your issue, because they might come to your house as well. We have to have a global perspective. COVID-19 taught us that pandemics can impact all of us. And if we want to be a difference maker, we've got to look beyond ourselves and look at what is happening all around us. China just finally put out some information, 60,000 people dying from COVID-related issues since December. Help me, somebody. What's happening around the world impacts all of us. So he had his preparation gave him a broader perspective on the issues. And one more thing, and I'm done. What I like about Dr. King is he had a selfless approach to life. Selfless. In response to Mordecai's plea, I didn't list it on the screen, but Queen Esther says, when Mordecai says, don't think you'll escape, and perhaps you've come to your royal position for such a time as this. Here's what Esther says. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, she says, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Esther decides to become a difference maker. And a difference maker has to have a selfless approach to life. A difference maker has to have the commitment to place the issues and concerns of others above personal concerns. That's what Esther chooses. She knows that no one can have an audience with the king without being summoned by the king. And anyone who initiates an audience without being summoned will be put to death. So she knows that she might lose her life, but she chooses to be a difference maker. She puts her life on the line and says, if I perish, I perish. And that's the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He writes, I decided early in life to give my life to something eternal and absolute. If physical death is the price that I must pay to free my white brothers and sisters from a permanent death of the spirit, then nothing can be more redemptive. What words? He writes, if a man hasn't discovered something that he is willing to die for, he isn't fit to live. He has a selfless approach to life. We don't have to be educated to be a difference maker. We have to step up and bring the changes we desire. King said everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve, he says. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. If we want to be a difference maker, we cannot just focus on ourselves. We have to be selfless and other directed. What good is it to have all of these college graduates and all of these professionals in our community, and the community goes to nothing? No change occurs. No difference happens. No uplift in the community. What good is it to walk around and list all of our labels behind our name so somebody can see that we have credentials? Credentials give you a platform for change and difference making. I'm wrapping it up. Damar Hamlin collapsed on the football field from cardiac arrest. The country held its collective breath as we watched. I was watching again the scene on the field and the outpouring of love, concern, and support across the country and across the world was incredible. Thank God the young man is out of the hospital. But when he became aware and learned of the response to his situation, Damar Hamlin said, you put real love out there, it comes back three times as much. And he knew what he was talking about, because once he became a professional football player, he organized a charity, a toy drive, to help persons and children in his Philadelphia community. He did it without fanfare. He took his platform and success and used it to be a difference maker in his community. Someone said, one heart may have stopped, but it made the whole world come together. And my challenge to us today is be a difference maker. Whether in your family or in your community or on your job, live and act in ways that make the world better for other people. Why are we going around celebrating the King holiday and doing nothing? Celebrating the fact that we're off working and doing nothing. That is the legacy that Dr. King bequeaths to us. Don't seek the spotlight for yourself. Use your platform, no matter the size, to impact the lives of others. Helping one person might not change the world, but it can change the whole world for one person. Be a difference maker. Be a difference maker. Mentor a child or a young person. Counsel someone who is troubled. Be an advocate for those whose backs are against the wall. Make your neighborhood a better place. Be a difference maker. Clara McBride Hale, the late Clara McBride Hale, was a difference maker. She began caring for children when a young woman with a drug-addicted baby appeared at her door. She took the young woman and the baby in and nursed that baby back to health. She was a foster mother for more than 40 years, and she founded Hale House and nurtured more than 1,000 young victims of drug and the AIDS epidemic in New York City. She died in 1992. She was a difference maker. And Mary Ann Wright, known as Mother Wright to the residents of Oakland, California, prepared and distributed hundreds of bags of food for the needy. She served hot meals to persons experiencing homelessness each Saturday, rain or shine. She wasn't wealthy. She took her meager Social Security check and took that and bought food for others. And when the money ran out, she said, "The Lord will provide." She was a difference maker. And I've told you before about Osceola McCarty, but it bears repeating. She was a washerwoman in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. She drew attention because after more than 40 years of washing other folks' clothes, she made a contribution to the University of Southern Mississippi in the amount of $150,000. She saved her pennies and walked everywhere she went so that she could make a difference for somebody else. Be a difference maker. Y'all sitting in here looking at me. This isn't on my paper, but let me just wrap it up. You never know the impact you're going to make. I pastored a church in Joliet, Illinois for 11 and a half years. And one day, I've told you this story before, but the Lord just gave it back to me. A young man called and said he was troubled and he was thinking about committing suicide. But you see, he called late at night. It's probably 11, 12 o'clock at night. And he wanted me to meet him and talk with him. And I said, okay. My wife was in the bed. She's listening to the phone call. And she said, "You're not going out this time of night?" And the church was in a bad neighborhood. "You're not going to go up to there?" I said, "I'm going to meet him at the church. Church is in a bad neighborhood." She was worried sick about me. I went anyway, not because I was special or I think I'm special. I just went because a person needed help. And went there, met him, spent a couple hours with him, talking with him, listening to him and praying with him. He turned his life around, gave his life to the Lord and to the church, got married. He's still married, has a family. What a blessing. He just called me this past Tuesday to tell me that that church in Joliet had elected him pastor. You never know. You never know. But when you seek to be a difference maker, you seek to make a difference in the lives of others. The invitation to Christ is extended. As our ministers, deacons, and greeters come, we invite you in this sanctuary to follow Christ. He's the ultimate difference maker. He made a difference for all of us, giving his life for our sin and by transforming us and giving us a platform to serve. If you're listening to us online, you can join us by going to belonging@ebc3austin.org and let us know of your commitment to Jesus Christ. The invitation is extended. Offer Christ. We offer Christ to you. offer Christ to you. Won't you come?
We offer Christ to you, oh my brother. We offer Christ to you, oh my sister.
Yes, he will give you.
He will give you brand new life.
God bless you. Just sat down, and I'm an old man, so that slipped my mind. So I'm going to ask you to stand again, down and up, come on. And let us sing We Shall Overcome for our recessional instead of Let the Church Say Amen. Let us pray. Eternal, we thank you for another Lord's Day and the blessed privilege of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that on this day we celebrate the life and legacy of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a difference maker. Thank you, O God, for what we glean from his life and also from the story of Esther. Dr. King underwent serious preparation to get tools for his calling. Esther was prepared. And sometimes preparation doesn't lead us down the path we expect. Sometimes preparation leads us down a different path. And thank you, O Lord, for help enabling Dr. King to see the broader issues of the world, yeah. To see the world from a global perspective. That is what Mordecai helps Esther to do. He helps expand her thinking to know that it's not just about a position, it's about the broader issue. And thank you, O God, for Dr. King's selfless spirit. He was willing to give his life, his very life, and he did, in the service of justice and freedom for others. And Esther was willing to give her life to be a difference maker. Thank you, Lord, for Mother Hale and Mother Wright and Osceola McCarty and others, so many others, who took their resources and made a difference. And now may the blessings of God be upon you. May God equip you with all you need to do His will. May He lead you forth with joy and sustain you by His perfect peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Invite all of the sorors of AK Alpha Kappa Alpha to join me right in front of the pulpit. Let's take a joint picture together, if you don't mind. All sorors.